I want to use some scripture this morning out of the New Testament, out of the third chapter of the book of Acts. It's very familiar scripture to most of you. And I guess if I have a thought that I would like for you to think about this morning, it would be, what do I have to share? What do I have to share? Now, I recognize that many times God's people think that they are not able or capable of doing anything for the Lord, and that there are only a few people who are. But let me tell you something. There are none of us who are capable within ourselves of doing the work of the Lord. I don't care who the oldest or the youngest person is in the work of the Lord, you still need the Lord to help you. And I mean that. And so I think probably that one of the things that we find quite often is that rather than depending upon the Lord and asking the Lord for His assistance, His help, that we get this idea that we've got to do it ourselves. And I can assure you that when we do it by ourselves, it's not going to be very effective, if at all. The effectiveness comes when the Spirit of the Lord is involved, and whenever that His Spirit touches the heart of the individual that we're dealing with. In the scripture this morning, and I'm going to read you some, and then I'm going to comment. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. I'm going to stop right there, and I want you to notice that this is to the apostles, Peter and John. You have to remember that these two men had been called by the Lord some 3+ years before, had been called to leave everything, leave their homes, leave their families, leave their occupations, and to come follow the Lord. And they had done that. They had been tremendously blessed in what they had been doing, and they had certainly been privileged to see the Lord as He performed many of the miracles which He performed. There probably was no one who was alive at that time, and probably no one since that time, who could have been more privileged than they were to be able to be with the Lord in person. Now, we don't have that privilege today, but we do have the privilege of having His presence in our lives every single day. Every single one of us as a child of God have that privilege. We don't always take advantage of it. I'm sure there were some times whenever the apostles did not take full advantage of the opportunities that they had with the Lord. There were times whenever that, I'm sure they had questions the same as you and I do, because as you study the Word of the Lord and read about the apostles, as much as we like to put them up on a pedestal, they were actually human beings just like the rest of us. They had the same thoughts, the same questions, the same concerns, the same doubts, and those are illustrated in the Word of the Lord many times. But one of the things that they did know was what the power of the Lord Jesus Christ was. I know this morning, and you, if you're one of His children, know what His power is, because we've experienced it in our hearts and our lives. Not once, but many, many times. And so there is absolutely no doubt that we know this morning that God is able to do things that is impossible for, that are impossible for us to do. But He can do things that just surpass our minds and our imaginations, if we will allow him to. Peter and John, as they were going up, they still held to some of the old Jewish traditions. Even after that, they had listened to the Lord, and they knew that he was their Savior, that God had revealed him unto them through the Holy Spirit. They still held on to some of the old traditions, and they were going up to the temple to worship about the ninth hour. And so as they went up to worship, this man who had been, from the days of his birth, had been lame, had been unable to walk, and he had been brought here by someone and laid here to beg. And as he was here, the apostles passed by and they stopped, and he had asked an alms of them. And the Bible says that he, whenever that Peter spoke unto him and said, Look at us. You know, I tell people every once in a while that we need to look at ourselves. And that's always not an easy thing to do. And I don't just mean to see what we look like in the mirror. That sometimes we need to do too. I find anymore that I'm frightened when I look at it and see what is in there, because I think, good grief, who is that person in there? You know, that doesn't look like who I expect to be there, but I know that it is a true reflection. The only thing that I can take consolation in, Alan, is that James said, he that beholdeth himself in a mirror and straightway goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he is. You know, so I can kind of use that. But there's a little more to that verse than that, because what he's talking about is those who are hearers of the word and not doers of the word. You see, a lot of times we like to hear the word, but we don't want to do what the word says. A lot of times you'll come in here, I'm convinced of this. There are times when you come in here and you listen to the message and you're stirred in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God and say, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to do better. I'm going to do differently. I'm going to do whatever that preacher said this morning. I'm going to do it. And it doesn't take long. And if we don't do it right away, that we don't get it done. We forget. And the first thing you know, we have become not only a hearer of the word, but we have become a failure to do the word. We just, you know, it's just as natural as can be. Peter said, look at us. Look upon us. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the old prophets, and I believe this was Joshua, who spoke unto the people on one occasion. He said, you watch me, and whatever I do, you do the same thing. Now, I cannot stand up here this morning and tell you that. I don't want you to watch me and do what I do. I want you to look at the Lord and do what he wants you to do. Because if you look at me and do what I do, you'll be in trouble. And I don't make any pretense about that. I get myself in enough trouble all the time. I don't want you following my example in that respect. And somebody's going to say, well, you're supposed to be an example. I'm a poor example. So who I suggest that you look to is to look to the Lord, who is a perfect example. He's the one that you should be patterning your life after. He's the one that you should be following. He's the one that we should be putting our confidence in. Because I will guarantee you, I've looked at other people most all of my life, and many times I've been disappointed in what I've seen. I've been disappointed in what has happened with people, because people can be very disappointing to you. No question about it. Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Now, I'm sure that if we could paraphrase the word of the Lord, probably what the Apostle Peter was saying in effect to him is, look, just look at us. Do we look to you like the type of person that has enough to give you money? That's what you're wanting. Remember what the Lord had told those two, the 12 apostles, whenever he had called them. He said, you leave everything. You don't even take a purse with you. You'll be provided for. And I found it throughout the years that God has always provided. There are times whenever that I wondered. There are times that I was nervous about it. But I'll guarantee you, I'm still here today, so God has always provided. Peter and John didn't have lots of them. And this beggar looked at them, And the Bible says that he expected to receive something out of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have to give you, but I do have something that I can share with you." And every child of God here this morning has something they can share. The problem with most of our people is they seem to be scared to death that if they were to share any of what God has blessed them with, that they might run out, that there might not be enough to go around. Let me tell you something this morning. God has enough and to spare. Don't you ever think for a single second that you can ever diminish or that you can do away with all the blessings that God has available to people, because he still has more in store than we can ever imagine. You know, everything is his. But we act like that we're afraid. Oh, Lord, if I was to share this with somebody, I wouldn't have enough left. The truth of the matter is, the more you share, the more that God's going to give you, the more that God's going to bless you. And I mean that. Now, I'm not going to stand up here. I'm not as foolish as some of these people who get up to profess to be preachers. And I don't believe they're, well, they are preachers. There's no question about that. There's a lot of preachers today that are preachers of the devil, not of the Lord. Now, you just need to understand that. For every man that God calls to preach the word, the devil calls three. I can't guarantee you that I can give you those that ratio, but I'll guarantee you, he's got his at work. And so I'm not going to stand up here and tell you this morning, boy, that all you got to do is just give your money and you'll just come back 3 and 4 times or 10 times as much, because that's not true. I'm not talking about that kind of giving to be able to receive. But I will guarantee you, whenever that you give, as the Apostle Peter did and as the Apostle John did here to this man, what they shared with him is worth more than all the money there is in the world. And what you have this morning is worth more than all the money in the world. What you can share this morning cannot be bought with money. Because you cannot buy love. First thing. First of all, you can't buy salvation. That's the first thing. Very first thing. Salvation, the best definition that I think there is, just to put it down into terms that we can all understand. Salvation is peace in our hearts. Peace with God. That's what's going to happen when the Lord saves your soul. He's going to place peace in your heart. I'm going to take away all of the hatred, envy, and strife, jealousy, and all those things that are not good. And he'll place peace in your heart. Then he places joy, happiness. I cannot understand why that we aren't happier as God's people. I do understand to some degree, but we should be a lot happier than we are as God's people. Every day of our lives, we have much to be thankful for. Sometimes I think that we forget that. And so some of the things that you have to be able to share this morning are things that you personally possess. Well, this has not been a very good morning this morning. No more this thing for me, guys. No, I can't blame it on that. we certainly can. We can share the love that God has placed in our hearts. We each one have love in our hearts because God placed it there, not because that we just concocted it up, but because he placed it there. We can share our empathy for those individuals who are less fortunate than we are. We can share the talents which God has blessed us with. And God has blessed every single one of you with a talent as one of his children. I tell, and Shirley's heard me tell this a few times, and some of you have heard me say too, that I used to say that ever so often when I was preaching, and I'd look back at my mom. She'd be sitting back there about where Pat's sitting, and I'd say, "And God has blessed every single one of you with a talent." Mom would be sitting back there, nope. My mom, she'd say, "No, he didn't bless me with a talent, you know." Well, he did. But and I love my mom, and as anyone could possibly love her, and Yep, we disagreed on some things. So, you know, so we do that sometimes. But listen, let me tell you something. God has blessed you with a talent. Some of you just haven't taken the time and won't expend the energy to find out what talent God has blessed you with. And it may not be to preach, it may not be to witness, it may not be to sing. Not all of us have the same talents. But God takes every one of our talents and makes it whole and complete. So when Peter and John said, look at us, what you see is not what you're going to get. What I do have, I'm willing to share with you. I'm willing to share with you. And then he does something else. He didn't just say, I will share with you. The Bible says he reached down and he took this lame man by the hand and helped him up. Now, it's not just enough for us to say what we're going to do. Sometimes we have to put feet to our words and to our works. Sometimes we have to be willing to exert a little energy and effort ourselves. And we cannot always depend that it's going to be somebody else who will do it. I'm amazed at how often that we have this idea that it's someone else's responsibility. When I was a younger preacher, I used to think, well, those old people have all the experience. They're the ones who've been through all of the battles and everything, and so they know how this should be done. And they need, you know, to kind of set the pattern for us who don't know much about what we're doing. Now that I'm old, it's hard for me to admit that. I told Diamla the other day, I said, I stopped by the pharmacy to get my flu shot. And I said, when I went in there, the place was full of old people. And I decided I wasn't staying. Diamla said, and she reminded me gently, she said, Dad, you are one of those old people. Well, I went back and there wasn't any of them old people in there. Just one young lady in there, so I felt much better. So I'm sure she probably went away and said there was an old man in there getting his shot. Let me tell you something. The old people, they're sitting around thinking the same thing. We got all these young people, they need to be doing the work. You know, we've already done our share. We've already been there. We've already been through these things. It's time for the Lord to take some of those young ones and use them. The truth of the matter is, it takes all of them. It takes those who've been seasoned, those who are mature, those who are spiritual, those who are knowledgeable in the work and in the word, and it takes those who are just coming along and who are just learning and who are saying, Lord, help me. And help these other people to help me. We sometimes need to reach out our hand and to help them. Help them to get up, to do the job that they've got to do. It's not just enough for me to stand up here and preach and say, you need to follow the Holy Spirit of the Lord. That's what you really need to do. But you also need to know there's some other people out there who are in the same battle that you are. He reached down and he took him by the hand and he lifted him up. You remember the boy who was let down through the roof of the house? You ever think about how much extra work those men went to get him to the Lord? When they got there with him, carrying him on a stretcher and took four of them to carry him. When they got there, the crowd was so large that they couldn't get him in to the Lord. And so they decided they'd take him up on the roof, and they tore the roof off and let him down through a hole in the roof. I've often thought about that, and I've thought, I wonder what that housekeeper thought about these guys getting up on the roof and tearing the roof off of the house. Now, see, that's kind of the thing that I think about that you shouldn't even be thinking about. That's why you don't want to look at me. Tore the roof off his house, but they weren't concerned with the damage that they might be doing to that man's house. they were concerned that they had a person who needed to get to the Lord. You see, sometimes we get so concerned and so excited about everything under the sun that we forget what the primary motive should be. You know what every one of our jobs this morning is? It's not to come in here and sit here in church and listen to me preach. As a child of God, our primary job is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell the world that's lost about Him, and lead them to the Lord that they can be saved. Yeah. I'm sorry, folks, if you've got other aspirations about what you're going to be able to do. That's your primary job, is to get somebody to the Lord that they can be saved. That's the most important job that any of us have, is to see that people get saved. Oh, it's good for us to study. It's good for us to know the Word of the Lord. It's good for us to have fellowship with one another. Well, what's really going to count in the end is whether or not a person is saved or not. Amen. Yeah. We've got too many things else going on today that we've forgotten what our primary responsibility is. Help them. Help them. Now listen to what the Word of the Lord says. And He took him by the hand, right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. The greatest miracle that still happens today is when the Lord takes that old stony heart of the individual and gives them a heart of flesh. Yeah. Takes all of those things out that are ugly and places that which is beautiful in their heart. Whenever that He redeems their soul, forever, forever. What a miracle. This little boy, whenever that Peter reached down and took him by his hand, came up and he went running and leaping into the temple. He was excited about what happened. We don't get excited anymore. The only thing we get excited about is a football game or a race or a basketball game. Or some sport. But it's not very exciting to come to church, is it? I couldn't have said I've been a little excited this morning, because these people know that I'm nervous as could be when they've asked me to sing with them, because I know my capabilities. And so that's not kind of excitement I like. But listen, there is a person that every one of us should be excited about this morning, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. This old boy, he was excited about what had happened to him. I still think back, Ronnie, whenever that I came up out of the gymnasium many, many, many years ago, what happened in my heart when the Lord Jesus Christ came in. I've never have forgotten that moment, Tracy. Now, still as vivid to me as it was then. Had a lot of ups and downs between then and now, but I've never forgotten. Did I go leaping and running down the hallway? No, I didn't. I just went walking right on down through there. But I had a classmate who come running down the hall, threw her arms around me and said, "You made it." She was more excited than I was right at the time, but I said, "Yeah, I did. You know, yeah, I did. I didn't do anything, but the Lord did." It is something, every one of us who've experienced that, that's an exciting time in our life. It's an important time in our life. This old boy, he went in there leaping and praising God. He knew who had done the healing. It wasn't Peter and John, but boy, he loved them anyway. The Bible says he took them, he was holding on to them when they came in there. And Peter and John immediately, Peter says, "Hey, wait a minute, guys. Don't misinterpret here what happened. This wasn't something we did. This is something the Lord done." And he preached probably the second most powerful message that Peter ever preached right there on that occasion. Now, I didn't read any of that to you, so that's your homework this week. You have to go home and read the rest of that. But the second most powerful message that the Apostle Peter, and maybe the second most powerful message that any preacher outside of the Lord Jesus Christ ever preached, was right there to those people when he took advantage of the opportunity that God had presented unto him to be able to tell those people about why this man had been healed. That's all we've got to do, is tell other people about the Lord. And the Lord can take care of what needs to be done in their hearts and their lives. And we can just say, you know what? All I did was say, what I have, I was willing to share with you. And every one of us can do that.